We're looking at the subject of money this morning, which is an important subject for us, and we're not going to take an offering straight afterwards, so don't worry. But please just focus this morning because it is an important subject. Last week we were saying that we need to work hard to the glory of God, that God has called us into the workplace as our calling. And so if I work hard, which I need to do, and God blesses, which He does, which is the Bible's way of getting ahead, work hard and God will bless you, and I make some cash, how do I manage my money? How do I manage money? How can I be a good steward if I have lots of money, which is great? And how can I be a good steward if I have no money or very little money or even if I'm unemployed? And we said last week we need a family discussion about this. We need to talk to our kids and we need to talk together about this, and I would encourage you to do that. And if you haven't, you don't give your kids pocket money, I'd encourage you to do that immediately and train your kids on how to manage finances and how to give and how to be entrepreneurial and so on. And so the bottom line of this sermon today, really I'm wanting to achieve two things. One, I want us to be good stewards of what God has given us, not just money, but all our resources. Whether you've got a car, whether you've got a home, whether you've got clothes, God, to manage those resources and, of course, our money. And secondly, for us to be faithful sowers in the advance of the gospel. Because that's really why God has also blessed us. It's not just that we may do well, but that we may sow into the kingdom of God and advance the gospel. And the Bible has a lot to say about managing money. There's about 15 of the 18 parables that refer to it. And so this morning, I want to just teach into it. Last week was more of an exhortation, and it was wonderful as we heard folk up on the stage telling us about what they do at work. But this morning, I want to teach a bit into this area of money. And the Bible talks a lot about it. We see even in the book of Acts with the early church, that in Acts chapter 2, there was great giving because of the gospel. It not just released their hearts, but released their pockets as well. There was land in Acts chapter 4, land redistribution because of the gospel. In Acts chapter 5, people died because of finances. Ananias and Sapphira withheld finances. And in Acts chapter 6, we see there was a tension amongst the widows because they weren't all getting enough sandwiches in the daily distribution of food. So unlocking finances is always linked to the breakthrough of the gospel and getting the gospel out. And we're also living today in the midst of a global economic epoch. And we do need a biblical perspective on giving in the last days. If you look at the book of Revelation, we have a picture of Jesus riding out on a white horse, conquering the nations. But there's also opposition to the gospel. And there's different horses in that conflict as well. And the black horse of Revelation signifies economic scarcity, difficulty, and inequality. And there could even be future economic discrimination against Christians because of the gospel. And so we need to prepare for how we can help each other, how we can be a true community, and how we can handle finances properly. It's important. And although the Industrial Revolution brought great wealth to many nations, today we're seeing that economic systems are crumbling, socialism doesn't really work, and capitalism doesn't really work. You'll find there's poverty that comes out of both systems. And we find that there's a growing gap between the rich and the poor. They say something like 2 or 3% of the world's population have about 70% or 80% of the world's resources. And so, you know, we find, and our planet as well cannot sustain constant growth and improving our lifestyle. So we need to look at this. In South Africa, it's also tough at the moment. We know that. There's rising unemployment amidst economic confusion. How do we create jobs and these things? A study by the FNB, even this last week, said, listen to this, 56% of middle-income households spend their entire salary in the first 5 days of the month in South Africa. And we find that many families are also, there's single moms trying to support kids and so on, and some people have no generational wealth. You haven't had parents that have supported you, and you've had to start yourself. You know, you're perhaps the first wage owner, or perhaps, you know, as you get your first salary as a young person, perhaps you've been previously disadvantaged, you find suddenly you're helping parents and siblings, am I right? And you're helping others because you're the wage earner. You haven't had someone to help you out. We were able to help our children out, and they were privileged. and we're able to give them a push. Maybe you haven't had a push. I was talking to my son this week. He's in Australia. He said to me, Dad, I'm going to visit Canada and Alaska next year. He said, that'll be the 42nd country I've visited. I thought, my goodness, you know. He's traveling around. He's been blessed. But we gave him a bit of a push in life. And maybe you haven't had that. And so this morning, I want to help you in how we handle finances and help you with that this morning. Amen. So that's what we're looking at. And so my main point this morning is that as Christians living in the kingdom of God, there is good news because the gospel changes everything. Hallelujah. The gospel really does change the way we look at finances. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you may become rich." Hallelujah. And so, friends, it's the gospel that fixes everything. We're not looking for a gospel of prosperity where we say, well, become a Christian and you'll get rich. That's a heresy. And we don't want a gospel of poverty because that's horrible. Poverty is horrible. But we're looking for a gospel of the kingdom. And as we follow the teachings of Jesus, the gospel will lift you up. The gospel will prosper you. You need to even ask yourself, how many of you are worse off financially since you've become a Christian? You'll find the gospel does lift you. And most of the rich nations of the world today are because they've also embraced the gospel in their history. And so we as Christians, we live in these two realms. We live in an earthly realm in which we need to work hard and we need to pay our taxes and we need to be good citizens. And we also live in the realm of the kingdom of God, where we're also investing in his heavenly kingdom and furthering the gospel. Hallelujah. And so Martin Luther said, God works through his left hand in society, through being a good citizen, through government, and through society. And God works through his right hand, through the gospel, and through preaching the gospel and advancing the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so I need to fulfill my duties as a good citizen in South Africa, but I also need to give to the gospel. And I need to, every time I give to the gospel, I'm laying up treasures in heaven as a firm foundation for the future. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian, heaven is guaranteed. If you're a Christian, I'll see you all in heaven. I'll see you all in heaven. But what's not guaranteed is treasure in heaven. That's not guaranteed. But as we invest in the kingdom of God and as we serve the Lord, we lay up treasures in heaven. And we find that the gospel sets us free from fear over finances and also from greed over finances as well. Hallelujah. And so the gospel fixes the two biggest problems with money. Number one, wanting more money, being greedy. And the gospel also fixes us when we need more money, anxiety and fear of money. So it fixes greed and anxiety. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and read together. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 19, Jesus said this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and thieves do not break in and steal." That's good news if you're living in South Africa. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot love both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or what you'll wear, or about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is here and tomorrow is gone, will he not more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So let's jump straight in. Number one, the gospel fixes greed. Okay? The gospel fixes greed. And here Jesus is talking to us about money, but he also uses the word mammon. He uses the word mammon, which is the Hebrew word for material possessions. And originally it was not a bad word. It meant material possessions, but it came to mean materialism. It's something in which I put my trust. I put my trust in finances. I put my trust in my wealth. I put my trust in my possessions. And Jesus said, you need to be careful because it can become a power or an idol in your life that can control you. And it can affect you in your life. And it can separate you from God in a way that nothing else can. And nobody, the funny thing about money is, and greed, no one thinks they're greedy. Nobody thinks they're greedy. Because greed blinds you like nothing else does. And so its main aim is to get you to love money, and its secondary aim is to get you to fear the lack of money. And Jesus made it very, very clear, you can't serve me, he said, and money. You'll either love the one and hate the other, because money becomes a rival lover in your life. It takes priority in your life. And I want to suggest to you this morning, this may surprise you, but I believe it's the root of South Africa's history and problems, is the love of money. And if you look at our history, Mammon has actually captured the ANC. This spirit has captured the ANC, just as it captured the apartheid government before it, just as it captured the British government before that. We see these cycles in history. The Brits waged a war in this country against the Boers, called the Anglo-Boer War, because 100 years ago, South Africa was the chief gold producer in the world. South Africa used to produce 70% of the world's gold. The gold was literally pouring out of the ground in the Witwatersrand. And what happened was, as the Brits fought, and that war was fought over gold, what happened was it impoverished Afrikaans families. It impoverished the Boers. There was a lot of poverty that came because of that, because that's what the spirit does. It impoverishes people. It doesn't just make people rich. It also affects people negatively as well. My own father grew up in the 1940s, Afrikaans, a Boerton Afrikaans. He grew up in an orphanage. His father died, and his mom had too many kids to look after, and he grew up in an orphanage. There was a lot of poverty in South Africa amongst particularly Afrikaans folk as well. And we find when the apartheid government took over, what happened was there was an impoverishment of black folk that happened in South Africa. And we'll find that if we're not careful at the moment, we'll find that poverty increases because of mammon that blinds and takes over in people's lives. And so, friends, this is a big deal. This is a big thing. And it's been a big thing in our history. And so in the middle of Jesus' teaching on money, he's talking about money, and then he says, and if your eye is bad. Why does he start talking about your eyes in the midst of teaching on money? Because there's nothing that affects your eyesight. There's nothing that robs you of seeing clearly is the love of money. It can affect you. And Jesus said, we need to be watchful of that. Gary Smith, who used to be an elder in our church, he said, here are 10 signs for the influence of mammon in your life. Constant worry and anxiety over money, whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Money mismanagement. Never having enough. Having a poverty mentality, or I can't afford it, instead of trusting God for stuff. Impulse buying. This is my confession. When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Or stinginess. A fear of giving. Or releasing money. I'm just fearful, instead of being generous with money. Greed, discontent, bondage to debt. If you're in bondage to debt, get some help. We've got some really clever people in this church. But also an exaggerated importance of the importance of money, that it'll solve all your problems. It'll solve a few problems, but not all your problems. Only the gospel is powerful enough to break the spirit in your life. Hallelujah. So friends, money will buy a bed, but it won't buy you sleep. Money will buy you books, but it won't buy you brains. Money will buy you food, but not an appetite. Money will buy you a house, but not a home. Money will buy you medicine, but not health. Money will buy you religion, but not salvation. Money will buy you a good life, but not eternal life. Can you say amen? You're supposed to clap at that point. Okay. Wonderful. So the world's concept of happiness is having what we want. But true happiness is wanting what you already have and being thankful and being content. Hallelujah. And so how do you break free from this spirit? How do you break free from this principality? Well, when I really see how generous God has been to me, it loosens my grip on this stuff. And it sets me free to receive from God and to bless others as we advance the gospel as well. Tim Keller says, Jesus is the only treasure who died to purchase you. Hallelujah. Every other treasure will say to you, die for me. And people are doing that. They're giving their lives for mammon. Only if Jesus becomes your heavenly treasure will you be set free. Jesus was stripped of all his possessions so that we could become his treasure, his precious. Hallelujah. You remember in the movie, The Lord of the Rings? They were all going for the ring in The Lord of the Rings. And what was the ring? It was my precious. And when they got the precious and they put the ring on, they couldn't see clearly. And they were blinded because this thing has power in our lives. We mustn't be afraid of it, but we must be aware of it. But Jesus is the one who laid down his life to purchase us from the grip of him. He had nowhere to lay his head. He borrowed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And that's what Jesus did for us. And when we see who he really is, folks, that he left the riches of glory to come and live amongst us, and he died as a common criminal, it changes the way I see money. It loosens it on me. It becomes countercultural. It helps me to overthrow selfishness. And it happened to the Macedonians. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says, I want you to know about the grace God gave the Macedonian church. Out of their extreme poverty, they gave. Gospel changed the way they did things. He said they were under great affliction, but they also were full of joy. And they gave to the leaders. And so the gospel changes the way I do things. The gospel changes the way I see things. You ask me this morning, well, how much should I give? I'm glad you asked me that question. Well, what did Jesus do when he treasured you? He treasured you sacrificially. And so I need to live out the gospel sacrificially. I must give in a way that it hurts me sometimes. And for some people, giving 10% of your giving away really hurts. If you're earning 1,000 rand a month, to give away 10% is a lot. It's a lot. But if you're very wealthy, to give away 10% is not such a big deal. So if I'm earning 100,000 a month and I give 10% away, well, I struggle, but I could live on 90 a month. I could get through. I could make it with some prayer. I could get through. And so 10% is not the target. The cross is the standard. It's to see what Jesus has done and to let God release me. And as you do that, God's contentment will come into your life. He'll set you free. It'll fix your eyesight. Jesus said, if your eye is good, in the Greek, that means if you've got a generous eye. Not just giving to the church, but giving to others. And friends, sometimes, and I know many have done this in this church, sometimes just a gift with someone can really help them. For some people, 500 rand or 1,000 rand can unlock things in their lives. Can just give them a push into studies and those things as well. So the gospel fixes greed. But secondly, the gospel also fixes anxiety. It fixes my anxiety. And Jesus is saying that, and I want you to think about God's hand and God's provision. The gospel will fix that, just like the gospel fixes greed. And just to come back to this thing of greed, where every time you give money away, you break its power. You break the power of mammon. Amen? Every time you give money away, you break its power. Hallelujah. Every time you give money away, you break its power. That's for you, Malcolm. Every time you give money away, you break its power. Every time you give money away, you break its power. No, I think I'll keep this one. So I don't want to overdo it. So what happened as I gave money away? Didn't it get your attention? Didn't it get your attention? Something happens. Doesn't something happen? You kind of feel, what's going on? What's happening? You give it away, you break its power. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. But secondly, gospel also fixes your anxiety. You think about God's hand, and Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. And what you need to do when you're anxious, and I know what it's like to have too much month at the end of your money. You need to think. You need to just stop and think. And just think about God's goodness. And just think about God's provision in your life. Hasn't He been good to me before? Hasn't He helped me before? Hasn't He come through before? And Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Doesn't your heavenly Father feed them? And so you need to apply your faith. Instead of worrying about tomorrow, which is like stressing on credit, you need to put your faith into action. And you need to think about God's goodness. And you also need, secondly, to think about God's heart. Not just His hand, but His heart. Hasn't He cared for you? Won't He look after you? We find in the Lord's Prayer, which is just before the section on money, He teaches us how to pray. And the first three prayers have to do with God and His glory. And the second three have to do with me and my needs. And once you put God first, God will take care of you. I promise you He will. Give us today our daily bread. Bread to eat and seed to sow. God will provide for you every single day. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are covering three essential areas. We're covering physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And we're covering three time zones. We're asking Him to cover my past mistakes. We ask Him to help me today in provision. And we're saying, Lord, lead me not into temptation. We're covering the future. Hallelujah. And friends, the great thing is God knows about your needs already. Jesus said, your Father knows your needs before you ask. Not just does He know how many hairs on your head, but He's numbered all of them. He's numbered them. For some, it's a quicker process than for others, but He's numbered them. He's numbered them as well. God knows you. He cares for you. Hallelujah. So just some quick advice in this area. Learn to simplify your lifestyle. Just simplify your lifestyle. Get out of debt if you're in debt. We've got some folk that can help you in this church to do that. That means living within your means. Not spending your money forward, not living on credit. Watch that. Get out of debt as much as you can. And learn to close your lifestyle circle. Decide, have a family discussion, say, what do we need to live on? And let's close that circle so we're not just buying extra stuff, but we're closing that circle, living on this by the grace of God, and trusting God so that we can also give away and sow into God's kingdom. You need to ask yourself, how much do you need to live on? Because the more you earn, if you're not careful, the more you'll need. Your lifestyle will increase to meet your income and surpass your income. It's called Parkinson's Law. When you're a student, you used to earn 1,000 rand a month, you somehow made it. Now you're earning big bucks and you're still battling to make it. Why? Because your needs increase as well. So watch that. Secondly, be creative. be creative. We spoke about that last week. God's given us opportunities in the kingdom. Be creative. Don't just wait for the government to give you a job. It'll kill your creativity. Say, Lord, you've given me gifts. How can we partner together in order for me to earn an income and to glorify your name? Hallelujah. And thirdly, pray with a Christian buddy. Agreement on earth releases power from heaven. And Jesus said, if any two of you touching, pray together. And we've seen that over and over and over again. Not just praying for businesses, not just praying for people, but praying at businesses and standing with folk during a time of financial need. And this is what the gospel will do. And finally, folks, the gospel will also fix us for mission. It'll fix us for mission. The gospel, money becomes missional ammunition as we resource the Great Commission in obedience to Christ. Hallelujah. We unlock finances for the great breakthrough of the gospel in these last days. And we have to start seeing this. We have to move from just a survivalist mentality to say, how can we finance the gospel in these last days? Hallelujah. We're going to Madagascar soon. And it's just been wonderful. There's four of us going. Just the way the guys in this church have said, we will give. The church is not sponsoring them. It's going to cost us over 70,000 rand to go to Madagascar. And as we go there, we're going to preach the gospel. Our material's being translated into French and Malagasy. And guys are financing that for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I realize that we all have challenges as well. Jesus had challenges in his ministry. Do you know who supported Jesus? There were a bunch of rich women that supported him and his disciples. It says that in Luke chapter 8, there were some rich women that God raised up and they supported Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus had challenges. His own treasury was captured by Judas. But yet Jesus carried on ministering and preaching the gospel, even though there were challenges. And I would encourage us in these days to keep doing that. We find that Paul was supported by others, so that at the end of his life, he lived in a rented house under Roman arrest, but he continued to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Friends, I want us to catch a vision for the global preaching and spread of the gospel. Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations. And then the end will come. Hallelujah. And we are going to see in the body of Christ a great end time push of finances and resources to take the gospel around the world. And if God has given you the means to generate wealth, then let's do that together. Not just for this church, but for the global, worldwide proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's wonderful the way we've been able to support Christo sitting in Tajikistan. Less than 1% of Christians preaching the gospel. We're supporting her. Thank you so much. Thank you for your giving to this church. Thank you for your faithful giving. In 2 years' time, just over 2 years, we pay for this building by the grace of God. Hallelujah. It belongs to us after 20 years of moving around, having no place to stay. And God has given us this place. And it's almost paid for by the glory of God. Thank you for your giving. Hallelujah. Masala was enabled to come to this church by a gift from someone. They gave a generous gift, and we were able to use that to bring the Balatseng family here as well. And they're with us, and they're such a blessing amongst us. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you this morning, as we look at this area of money, to be good stewards of it. May God help us to be wise in the way we use money for the glory of God. Amen. To not be captured by greed, which has got a history in this country. It's a principality in this country. We've been captured by greed. It'll blind you. It'll immobilize you. But don't be also gripped by anxiety where you're fearful. You go to sleep at night and you wake up thinking, how will I pay for this? How will I pay for that? Trust Jesus. Jesus said, look at the birds. Think about, look at them. Look at them. I take care of them. I'll take care of you. Hallelujah. And when the gospel grips us, it fixes us for mission. We say, Lord, we want to see this gospel go to the ends of the earth for your glory. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, as I close, it says, each one must give. So be generous in your giving because of Jesus. What he has decided, not under pressure, not under the law, but regular planned giving to the glory of God. Not reluctantly. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you'll have enough in every situation to give and to bring glory to him. Hallelujah. Let's just read that together as I close. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul's writing to the Corinthians about this great collection they made, and he says here, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, and through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For this ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By the approval of this service, they'll glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Hallelujah. Friends, we have a glorious, glorious gospel. May that help us to be good stewards of our finance, to be wise in how we handle our finances. Wise. Not be greedy, and not be fearful, but keeping our eyes on his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then things will fall into place. And you'll find God will bless you. He's given all things for your enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy ice cream and chocolates and a bit of a holiday sometimes. God wants that. Amen? But he wants us to keep our priority and our attention on him. And whatever we can to sow into his kingdom, to bless others. And as we do that, we'll begin to experience the life of God. Letu's just come back from Canada. She was there doing a presentation. She said, man, what a wonderful place. But what a spiritually dry place. And you find often the more affluent nations become, the more they struggle spiritually. It's this situation that takes place. Money has a way of robbing your spiritual life. Jesus said how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And that doesn't mean we turn away from riches. No, may God bless us. Hallelujah. But give us the grace to handle it for his glory. Amen. Let's pray together.